Okay, so I was watching the show Game of Thrones the other day.
On HBO?
No, actually, I was watching it on my Roku.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is high tech.
Yeah, and I just couldn't get into it.
The highly acclaimed Game of Thrones, not for Ryan Pfister.
You know, there was a lot of boobs, as was promised, and some palace intrigue, but I just couldn't really relate to these like fantasy characters and their fantasy problems. I guess I like fiction that I can relate to a little bit.
Have you ever been into fantasy stuff? Or I mean, I know you're a nerd, but I don't know if you're that kind of nerd.
I think that's the thing. I think I'm not that kind of nerd. Like, I really like sci-fi, but the fantasy part, I guess the sci-fi has the potential to be true, and I can think about those implications, but the sci-fi, I'm like, no, there's no magic. Like, not happening.
But what really appeals to people, like, I like fantasy quite a bit, and for me, Game of Thrones might not be fantastical enough, but I think that some people see Game of Thrones as, like, an in-between between that fantasy, swords, dragons, that kind of stuff, and politics. Like, you're watching, like, a bloodier version of West Wing or something.
Yeah. And I agree with you there. And I do think that sometimes it's hard to draw a distinction between sci-fi and fantasy. Like you look at something like Star Wars. That's a sci-fi movie franchise.
See,
it's also kind of a fantasy franchise.
See, yeah,
as well.
Hardcore Star Wars people, and that's where the Star Wars Star Trek divide comes in, Ranjan. No one who is into Star Trek would ever call Star Wars sci-fi. It's fantasy, straight up.
But it really kind of is both. You know, it.
Because it takes place in space.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I am more into it because it has like lightsabers and lasers.
Technology.
Yeah.
So if they were just fighting with swords, you wouldn't have been into it.
I guess so, yeah. I guess that's where my reasoning takes me.
But when you started talking to us about Game of Thrones, or the reason you wanted to bring this up is because you're fascinated by why anybody would be into Game of Thrones in the first place.
Well, I guess
that separation that you're feeling.
Yeah, well, I guess I just know so many people that are so passionately into the show. And other forms of fantasy. Like, I know people that read these gigantic fantasy tomes. I mean, I've never seen bigger books than in the fantasy area.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, I think, is like 700 pages long.
No, they're longer than
that. And it's the first of, what, six books or something?
Yeah, the later ones are longer. They're like 1,100, 1,200
I read half of the first Game of Thrones book, and I could not connect. I'm with you, Ryan. Game of Thrones. Now, I've seen one episode of the show, and I'm a little interested, maybe because it's been visualized for me. But as a book, I am like that. See, it does seem too political for me, and it seems too realistic.
So it's too real for you.
Yeah, it's like history that I know isn't real, so I kind of get bored by it.
It doesn't. To me, it doesn't seem so much fantasy because, like, I mean, there's not really. There's some magic, but not very much. It's more like alternate history.
Exactly.
And how do you start caring
about that when there's real history to be
learned? The difference is real history, you know, it's trying to be factual and accurate, theoretically at least. And because of that, you can't get the nuances and the subtleties because we don't know the subtleties. No one was there or no one around is there and we don't have it all recorded, their perfect dialogues and what, you know, Henry VIII actually did.
They herald well-written history books, you know, that John Adams biography from the 90s, or was that like the early 2000s? Whatever. That was a huge hit because someone was spinning history into something that was digestible and well-constructed, well-crafted.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, they, in order to make it more readable and more, you know, personable, you tend to lose your accuracy because we don't know what John Adams said to Abigail and in their various in like the political campaign against Thomas Jefferson, and we don't know what the back, you know, stuff that happened behind the scenes.
Well, he wrote it all down in his live journal.
He did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
he was keeping it very thorough.
No, they only had Zanga back then.
You're right, Pfister.
A lot of emoticons.
But I mean, in a fantasy story, then you can manufacture this, and you know, it seems plausible, I guess. And you can relate to the characters more fully.
So does that mean for you watching Game of Thrones become a huge hit and hearing a lot of people talk about it? Like, what are the kind of people who talk about Game of Thrones? Because for me, they're people who you might not sit down and talk history or politics with, but they seem capable of doing that because they're into this kind of fantasy, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, they seem receptive to politics, but like you're saying, Ranjan, it needs some sort of emotional massaging. It needs a human massage.
Yeah,
which I could really go for.
And also, it's divested of actual implications, and they don't have to. And it's also, the other thing is, it's easier to figure out where you've come down on the issues, you know, because you don't actually have to live with
a person you like's head off, and suddenly you know who to side with.
Well, you don't have to live with the consequences. It doesn't actually matter if the policies are perfectly good and whatever, because you're not living in that world. You can just side with the person you like better, or the story you like better, or whatever. And you don't have to think about, oh, is this actually good for the country? Is this good for the people? Is this what's going to be good for me?
But see, that
requires less in, like, actual thought and investment.
Right. I think that you're floating around are stakes, and that's what every dramatic creation relies on. It wants stakes, but for me, the way that you're perceiving Game of Thrones is like it doesn't have real world stakes, and for some people that seems to be a draw. For me, that's kind of a turnoff, and I'm wondering, Ryan, if that's why you can't get into it. If you feel the stakes of real world issues kind of seeming more important when compared side to side with Game of Thrones.
I mean, maybe that's the difference, is I don't feel some kind of connection to the show. I'm actually kind of drawing a parallel here to some of our discussions about sports, in that some people are very, very interested in a topic if it's related to sports, and otherwise they don't care. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Like a rest, for instance, or
stats.
Or stats. Yeah, you're right. If they're sports numbers, they're much more into it than if they're finance numbers.
But does that mean that, I mean, you want to be invested in something like Game of Thrones, right? Some sort of, you're looking for escapism.
I mean, that's what it is, right? It is escapism.
Well, it is, but it's also, it's close enough to some reality that, I mean, it doesn't seem like pure escapism to me. It seems like people follow Game of Thrones the same way Ryan might follow politics, as if it's some sort of drama. And I don't know if you agree with that statement, that you find drama in the real world actions of Washington or local government or something like that. As a journalist or someone who comes from a journalist background, you may actually do that, which is interesting. But it's not pure escapism, so people flock to it for different reasons than what you may flock to escapism for.
Well, I mean, I think actually it's the escapism that's the key here, and that I think that I actually don't really look for escapism in my entertainment. I look for something that has implications for me, and that
like
I can
what?
Ponder.
So what works for you?
Is that why you prefer sci-fi? Because sci-fi often tends to deal more with if we tweak one thing in society, what would happen, and those sorts of things. Whereas fantasy doesn't tend to do that.
Yeah. I think that's why I am more interested in sci-fi. Maybe that's the difference here. Some people are looking for escapism in their entertainment, and I am not.
But that doesn't sound like what Game of Thrones is to the people who are watching it, or at least the way Rajan perceives it. That it's some that they feel the politics of that world, that they get invested in something that feels it feels relatable in a way that, like, this is the world politics that I exist in, and here they are in this world, even though they're not true, so the stakes are a little less, but it doesn't seem like pure escapism. I'm not watching, like, a dumb action movie on FX or something.
Yeah, there is that, but I do think it's more, you're more getting invested in the characters, I think, than their politics so much. But I think it probably varies from character to character. But
I feel like I spend a lot of time talking to people about escapism because I have to do write and talk about movies every week. But it is interesting to hear you guys talk about what you both look for in escapism, because some people want it to be really true. And so Ryan, going back to, what are your alternatives to Game of Thrones? What have you connected with in this way before?
Well, I mean, I it sounds like to me that there's escapism that is just something that doesn't engage your brain and you can just kind of watch it. And there's escapism that's just all encompassing. It's kind of a World of Warcraft style escapism.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I mean, with video games, it's putting you in the action. You get to do things. It's like an extra level of that. Even if it's brainless, even if it doesn't have real world connections, you're suddenly more invested perhaps because you're doing it.
Well, I think that's related, though, different in some ways with just games in general, where sometimes for me at least, I can get way more invested in winning a game than I am in winning at my job or something, you know? Whereas...
Does that scare you?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I feel that same way sometimes. And that's to me, when I step back from that, I'm like, oh, wait, that's scary.
Well, but the game is designed to be winnable. It's designed to give you success.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't necessarily exist in real life.
That's depressing.
I mean, I guess that, I think that's the point of this kind of all-enveloping escapism as opposed to mindless escapism, is that it essentially present a simpler world, or a world where... The consequences are more understandable.
I guess that is part of a fantasy world. Is the fantasy world was developed by a human brain, and you know, so it's all, everything within it can be conceived by a person. You may not understand everything to do with it because you weren't the person that created it, but you can at least feel that it's understandable. Whereas the world is just so big and vast, and everything's so complicated that we can't really understand any of it. And so maybe it's more comforting to kind of live in this fantasy, or at least exist at least temporarily in this fantasy world that is somehow more manageable.
Then what do you see? I mean, is Game of Thrones dangerous to the people who are watching it then, is my question. Because I think, Ryan, when you brought this up to us before, that there was some sort of like angle about getting lost in this type of show, that if it's not that pure escapism... where you can disconnect from the world and lose yourself in a way that seems positive. Is this like too realistic or not enough? Or like where does Game of Thrones fit, and how do you perceive the audience response to it?
Well, I think this all-encompassing escapism is something that I don't know if fear is the right word, or I guess I get concerned about sometimes.
You question it.
Because... I mean, there are like problems and things to be interested in the real world. And it just, I don't know, to me, it just seems like kind of a waste sometimes. Like, I feel like there's too many real issues to deal with to want to learn every nuance in a, you know, 1200 page fake world.
I understand that. And I think I'm coming more to your perspective now than I used to.
Hmm.
I used to be very uninterested in a lot of the things that are, you know, going on in the real world. But over the past couple of years, I've been reading more about, you know, whether it's politics or world affairs or, you know, social issues or whatever, and getting more interested and more invested in these things, and more fully developing how I personally feel about them. And yeah, that does take away to some extent from your engrossment in these fantasy worlds. And to some extent, if you're engrossing yourself in these fantasy worlds, then you don't have the time and mental resources to figure out your position on real world issues. But I don't think they're completely, I don't think it's completely one or the other. It is sometimes you do need to take a step back and, well, I mean, escapism is not here for no reason. It's not because people are trying to hide from the world forever. It's usually just you need a break.
You need a little imagination.
Yeah, and
you need to fuel that part of you.
Yeah, and you know, you come back and you're a little bit refreshed, but you. But I mean, sometimes
you got to work out. You're feeling good. Let's keep it going. Yeah. But do you, I mean, that almost makes it sound like, oh, maybe there's a quantifiable balance to escapism and real world investment. That and then you have to select your items carefully so that you can move casually between them. Because if you get, I mean, this is what a lot of people picked up on Game of Thrones, and they started binge watching them. Or like, there's a very funny sketch from the TV show Portlandia about people getting wrapped up in Battlestar Galactica, the old Battlestar, or not old, from the 2000s, and they just loved it. Like, each episode would hook them, and they would spend days watching it. And it almost seems like, well, you better be careful about what escapism you choose, and if you can actually take little chunks of that and then walk away and do real-world things and find a balance there. And it can be dangerous to play.
I think it does depend on what you're escaping to does matter. And I think the best types of escapism are the ones where you can escape there and there's something positive that you can bring back to the real world. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about good science fiction, is that generally speaking, there is something, whether, you know, something like Ursula Le Guin or Asimov or some of these really good sci-fi writers, they actually tackle issues that are real, that are in this real world, but they're taken off into some like different world that's very different from ours. And somehow it means that I think it helps you take a more objective look at the issue than you could if it was just set in your regular real world.
What is your favorite sci-fi book?
Mine?
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot, Ryan.
It's a difficult question. I think in terms of this actual like reinvestment in the world, it's probably The Dispossessed by Ursula Le Guin. In terms of more escapism sci-fi, I think Dune.
But see, Dune still gets political. So
it does. Maybe, it's very political.
The spice. It means
spice.
So much.
And then it basically kind of mirrors the rise of Islam in many ways. So it doesn't just kind of disappear into the world ether and talk about the stuff that doesn't matter as much. But it's more of a saga, an epic than The Dispossessed would be.
Fair enough. So Ryan, when you were when you watched Game of Thrones and it didn't do it for you, do you feel like you had a backup escapism plan?
Well, it was an issue because I was in the middle of a great sickness, so I couldn't do anything but watch television, and I think I ended up reading a book about wine.
Real stuff.
Went back to nonfiction.
You can't escape. You need some real 100% escapism in your life.
I mean, that and Star Trek Next Generation, but I've almost exhausted that.
Well, there is more Star Trek on Netflix if you are looking to do that. Deep Space Nine, man.
And wine is a form of escapism anyway, so.
That's true. It's a high Touché. Class. Well, I think that about wraps this up, but we need to talk about your haircuts, Ryan. How's it going? It's been a long time since we've caught up with your hair.
That is very true. And I actually found a very good haircut place out in the burbs of Virginia. And now I have had to give it up because I am in Chicago. And so I went to a Sport Clips in Chicago.
Sport Clips?
Yeah.
Is that Supercuts, but for the Chicago crowd? A deep dish?
It's one of those places that tries to appeal explicitly to men. So they have a whole bunch of TVs showing ESPN, and there's a woman that is a Guy Smart stylist there.
That sounds like the douchiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
That sounds like it's something that would perfectly appeal to you too, Fister.
Did they give you a good haircut?
It was decent. It was not the same as my old Virginia haircut, but it got the job done.
Times change.
I didn't find it appealing, Roger.